The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Visa. With the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second, Visa has been bringing innovations to the way we pay for over 60 years. Imagine a world where, instead of just tapping to pay with Visa, you had to wait for everyone in front of you to cut a check. Everywhere you went. Imagine how much fun it'd be trying to track down your cousin in Milwaukee for league dues. That's why Visa's vision is to be the best way to pay and be paid everywhere so you won't have to. Whatever your goals are, Visa makes paying fast and easy. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be.
To the Patriots now, who are in Cincinnati looking to get their offense back on track, or just on track, really. 34-13, the final behind two touchdown passes from Tom Brady. Patriots get the win. Their defense was back to wreaking havoc, forcing five turnovers, including a pick six by Stephon Gilmore. Pats clinch a playoff berth for an NFL record 11th straight season. But Nick, from what you saw yesterday, how far can this team really legitimately go in the playoffs?
If they are fortunate enough to get a bye, which if they lose next week to Buffalo, they won't. And the way they're playing right now, that is absolutely in play. They lose to Buffalo. They could win if they... If they don't get a bye, they could beat Pittsburgh in round one or the Titans in round one, sure, and then promptly get beaten by either Baltimore or Kansas City, whomever they play in round two. That is who the pay. And if they do get a bye, they'll lose in round two to Kansas City. This was 10-10 when the Patriots are punting with a minute 40 left in the first half. And the Bengals do what bad teams do. They have a chance to go into the half feeling good about themselves, so let's muff the punt. Now we go into the half trailing. The Patriots had one drive that was at least 50 yards yesterday. And once again, by the way, credit to Josh McDaniels or whoever's coming up with that opening script for them.
Yep.
Because against Kansas City, opening script touchdown. The previous game against Houston, opening script, opening drive, they drove 80 yards. They settled for a chip shot field goal. This week, opening drive, touchdown. And that was the only extended drive of the... It's 10-10 and they're punting. Here's how they score their next three times. Muff punt, field goal, interception, short field, touchdown, pick six, touchdown, and onside kick, short field, touchdown. You know, Tom Brady was bad again, erratic again, and the offense once again looks like a major weakness headed into the postseason.
I'm with you. I think they have one playoff win and then they're going to get bounced, because teams that make deep playoff runs are balanced. You have to be solid on both sides of the ball, or you have to be all-time great on one side of the ball. You think back to the Ravens winning,
sure,
with their, you know,
all
with their
time
deep,
great.
All-time great, and you have a pedestrian quarterback play. I think the Broncos defense was all-time great, yep, with Von Miller and company when Peyton Manning was not that great. This offense has issues, and I know a lot of the conversation is going to surround, well, is it Brady regressing? Is it because he's getting older? I think that has zero to do with it. I think it is the weapons that he is working with. The offensive line has struggled, and sure, he's not as mobile, but show me a time in his career when he was running around making plays. Never. He's not done that. And here's the problem I have. When you look at the box score and you see the leading wide receiver is a running back in James White, and they're trying to create offense different ways. Last week it was trick plays, a flea flicker. That was how they generated offense. They don't have many options as far as skilled players.
But a lot of that's the quarterback. Like, the idea that this is just the pieces around Brady have fallen apart. Man, he is missing guys. He is skipping passes. Yesterday, he throws the ball 29 times for 128 yards, and 23 of those, his longest pass of the day, was a dump off to James White, and James White navigated down the field for a 23-yard touchdown.
But you know who had less weapons than Tom Brady yesterday? Carson Wentz. Had no weapons yesterday.
But now he is mobile. And he's more mobile. He can run around and make plays. But this team.
I mean, whose fault is that? Like, oh, look at some of these, though. Some of these are, I mean, I'm just, that guy's wide open.
He is. For Tom Brady, that's a
miss pass. Touchdown.
Absolutely is.
Now, this one, again, that's a drop, but that's also low behind him instead of being a touchdown. Watch these. I mean, who's that to? That's not the receiver's fault. Who's that to? That's not the receiver's fault.
Now this one's open. He's got to put a little bit more air under that so that he can catch that.
Come on.
Some of these, there's not very much separation. This bounce pass, no excuse for that one. That's on Brady. When you do see, though, this offense has issues. Yes, Tom Brady is a part of him, but I think we focus too much on him as opposed to the pressure. And like if you want to make any quarterback in the history of the game pedestrian, you get pressure on them. And you remember when Sam Darnold said, I'm feeling ghosts? Mm-hmm. That's what I think is happening because their offensive line has struggled. I think some of those, Tom Brady might be feeling pressure that's not really there because he's not getting consistent protection, which he has gotten.
And because I do think he's being extra cautious during the regular season of not taking punishment because he's 42 years old, because he knows he has to be available for the postseason. And I defend him on that. I think that's smart. That's like an in-game load management to use right. a loaded term at the moment. But and you're saying maybe he's getting a little too much blame. Man, I watched the New England Patriots win a Super Bowl because Malcolm Butler made maybe the greatest defensive play in a big spot in the history of the league, and that was part of why Tom Brady's the GOAT. I watched them last year win a Super Bowl where the defense held the opposition to 3 points. That offense scored one touchdown, and it added to Brady's greatness. We can't do it to where when good things happen to the Patriots, Brady can ride off it even if he wasn't the leading factor. And now, when you have 128 yards passing, 37 of those yards total to wide receivers against the Bengals.
Against
people can say, oh, you saw the score, look at the score. They turned him over 5 times. Of course you win that football game. This offense is a huge problem for them, Danny, and it's not getting fixed in the final 2 weeks.
Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. Back here, First Things First, now joined by Super Bowl champ Chris King.
What up, man?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Good, Chris. Great to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Nice to see you and be seen. All right, let's talk.
Jenna, why do you have to always make this so awkward?
He came at me so hard.
I don't
nailed
understand
it.
You
can't
not with anybody
it.
Else, just with me.
Let's just talk about the football game. Canny, there's nothing you can do there.
I love you, Chris. Let's talk about a team you were very high on before the season started, the Green Bay Packers. So yesterday they beat the Bears 21-13. To clinch a postseason berth. Aaron Rodgers had an okay day by his standards. The rest of the Packers also just okay, not that much better, but it was good enough to punch their ticket to the postseason. After the game, Rodgers had some interesting comments. Take a listen to this.
I don't know that we have the full respect of the entire league at this point, based on some of our performances, where we got beat by a couple scores and kind of the reaction, I would assume, to those situations. But we're 7-1 at home. We have an inside track at the 2 seed. Obviously, we have an opportunity to wrap up the division next week, which guarantees a home game and probably in the 3rd seed at worst. I like our chances. I like our football team.
Nick, you also had the Packers coming out of the NFC, I think, before we started this season. What do you think of what Aaron Rodgers had to say? We don't have the full respect of the league, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think that's a nobody believes in us comment from him. I think that's him reacting either to the fact that they were only 4-point favorites at home against Chicago, which I said last week was shocking to me, or just reacting to the fact that, and I think he's right, very often we judge the Packers by how great does Aaron Rodgers look. And Aaron Rodgers and that passing offense have not looked great. If you'd have told me they were going to be 10-3 at this point going in, or 11-3, pardon me, at this point, I would have said, okay, good, my Super Bowl pick's looking good, a candy Super Bowl pick, but I would have thought it's because Aaron Rodgers is a top three MVP candidate. He has not been. And yesterday's game was another game similar to the game last week, I think it was against Washington, where Green Bay gets out to a lead, lets the other team kind of hang around. It's like, wait, all of it, they could drive and tie the game here, but they leave with a win. They very similar to week one against Chicago, by the way. Not a pretty game. They made one big play, but they left with a win. And so I agree with Aaron that right now they're maybe a little undervalued, but I also think if they're going to prove you and I correct, Aaron Rodgers has to play better than he's playing right now. Right now, he's not making the critical mistake. For them to beat the best teams in the league, he's got to be the guy that I still believe he can be.
Well, the reason we were so bullish on them at the start of the season was because of how their defense was playing.
Yep.
We saw it in that Bears game that, you know, you had Za'Darius Smith, you had Preston Smith. It looked like that defense was going to be able to create some plays and take some pressure off of Aaron Rodgers and give that offense time to figure out that new scheme under Matt LaFleur. Now, to the defense's credit, they were able to get some takeaways yesterday. I think that always helps. But when you have a 21-3 lead in your place against a team that clearly to me is inferior competition, you have to find a way to bury them. And I don't feel like they did that yesterday. I mean, if Jesper Horsted decides he's going to lateral it to Allen Robinson, we could be talking about a game that goes into overtime. But all in all, I think this Aaron Rodgers and this Packers offense is doing just enough to be able to win games. But at some point, they're going to have to click. They're going to have to figure it out because the way that they're playing, they're not playing good enough to be able to keep up with the other double-digit win teams in the NFC. There are five double-digit win teams in the NFC, so there's a lot of competition. Any one of those teams can beat another on any given Sunday, and so we're looking to see things that can separate you from the pack. We all know that that difference has to be Aaron Rodgers, and it's going to be up to Matt LaFleur to be creative in order to create some more explosive plays on that offense.
I think Aaron Rodgers is right. NFL players have egos. They like to, you know, be seen and see their highlights out there and see people talking about them. We haven't spent much time talking about the Packers. They've been flying under the radar, and they do feel like when you look up going in the weekend, they have 10 wins, a chance for 11. It is a little bit surprising to some people. But in the same token, like, how many players can you name that are difference makers on this team that aren't named Aaron Rodgers? Devontae Adams has had a pretty nice streak. Yep. He's getting better as of late. He's really come on strong. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, is there any, like, I don't see a Khalil Mack. I don't see somebody on that defense that's just a wrecker that out there that intimidates you. And you look at the ultimate kind of unbiased perspective of who's a judge of who's worthy. Las Vegas sportsbooks, most of them have about the 7th or 8th best odds to win the Super Bowl. So I think from that perspective, it's probably fair that they haven't got much of the conversation, but I still think they're a threat. But I don't take them more of a threat than the 49ers, than the Saints, than the Seahawks, than some of those other teams that I do. Maybe I'm guilty of not giving them enough credit, like Aaron Rodgers is talking about, but I still need to see a little bit more out of this team and a little bit more of some difference makers start to evolve on this team.
Aaron Rodgers isn't having his typical MVP-type season, and the team is 11-3. Aaron Rodgers isn't going out and lighting it up, and they're still right in the thick of it. I mean, doesn't that go towards what Matt LaFleur is doing with this team and what we wanted to see him doing with this team, that it's not all about if Aaron Rodgers plays well, the team plays well?
Absolutely. But he has to play better. They have put themselves in this position to get a bye, as you always talk about. They've only had 2 byes ever since Aaron Rodgers has been the starting quarterback. 2014 was the last year they didn't have to play in that first round of the playoffs, which is why I think Aaron Rodgers is so keenly and acutely aware of where they are in the playoff standings right now. But once they get there, they need Rodgers to be vintage Aaron Rodgers and the other things to happen. Because San Francisco showed you they can annihilate this team up front. New Orleans can play whatever type of game you want. And so what I think Rodgers is talking about, since the Kansas City game was the last time Rodgers went over 250 yards passing. Since then, they've played 6 games. Now they're 5-1. He has 8 touchdowns and no picks. and he's averaging fewer than 200 yards passing per game. They need, in order to beat the best teams in football that you guys are talking about, they need all of what's going on right now to continue and that passing attack to get an injection. They're not going to get more talented receivers. So Rodgers, I think, knows it's on him.
Yeah, they might not get more talented at the receiver position, but I think Matt LaFleur can do his quarterback a solid and include more of what we saw yesterday. Devontae Adams not just playing the Z, but also playing the X and playing the slot, moving him around to give him opportunities to have one-on-ones because we know what he's capable of doing in those situations. But again, this Packers offense has to get to the point where they can be more consistent in getting explosive plays down the field, because once we get to the playoffs, it's going to be hard to put together 8, 10, 12 play drives. You're going to have some guys that can be game breakers, and Aaron Rodgers being able to get them the football down the field. So I look for this offense to have to improve in that regard, but I have a little more confidence on that side of the ball just because they have one of the most talented quarterbacks that the game has ever seen. I'm more concerned about what's going on the defensive side of the ball because it doesn't feel like they can stop a nosebleed, especially with that run game. They've got to get that cleaned up if they're going to have any chance. Also, that Packers offense, they've got to be better in situational football, especially on third downs. You got to find a way to be able to sustain drives. So those are just some areas that they got to improve on if they plan on trying to make a run at this thing.
Here's where they are dangerous, is they haven't had to have Aaron Rodgers throw for 300 yards. That's a great spot to be in. And to your point, you know it's in there if he has to do it. Now, if you get in a shootout, it's tough to get in a shootout with the Saints because they have so much firepower, but you know it's in there for Aaron Rodgers, which is why I tend to agree with him, saying maybe we're not giving them quite enough respect as they deserve.
Eighth time yesterday this season that Aaron Rodgers only had one or few passing touchdowns in a game, so he is going to have to.
Only Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield more starts with one touchdown or fewer in a game.
Gentlemen, we'll play a little in or out. Yesterday, the Cowboys got back on track against the Rams. Zeke led the way with 160 yards, two touchdowns. What Danny Cannell, we'll start with you. You in or out on the Cowboys being legit Super Bowl contenders?
I'm out, man. This team, I've seen too much. I've seen the whole body of work. I'm not going to give in to the recency bias of maybe their best performance in several years that we saw yesterday. The cream of the crop are the Saints, the 49ers, the Seahawks. I'd even throw the Packers in there, too. They are not at the top level.
I'm out on them being Super Bowl contenders. There have only been three teams that have had less than double-digit wins to win the Super Bowl. If the Cowboys win out, they'll be at 9 wins. My Giants in 2011 were one of those teams, but that team had already done it before with Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin, so I am out on the Cowboys. I just don't think that they have the ability to galvanize and go on a run.
And that team, your team, throughout the year showed flashes of brilliance more than just one time. You guys beat the Patriots a really good Pats team before you guys went on your losing skid that kind of derailed your record. It's clean sweep. I'm out. Come on. I'm very happy that Dallas put it all together for one football game. They might even make the playoffs. I still don't think they will, but obviously they win next week and they're in. But if they, what they would get if they make the playoffs is the privilege of having San Francisco come to their building and annihilate them in wild card weekend.
All right, we all know how explosive the Chiefs' offense can be, but lately their defense has actually been playing pretty well. Over the last 4 weeks, the Chiefs' D allowing just 11 points per game. Danny Cannell, you in or out on the Chiefs' defensive turnaround being sustainable?
I am in on the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are flying under the radar. We know about their offense and what they do, and their offensive production has actually come down a little bit, but it's sort of like we were talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. You know they can score with people, but if you look at some of the teams they're starting to beat and they're starting to hold these offenses more and more, I'm starting to buy into the Chiefs' defensive turnaround.
Well, I don't want to put too much stock in what we saw yesterday because it was a blizzard out there, and you're talking about
a rookie
quarterback on his third start. So I do think the Chiefs have upgraded on the defensive side of the ball. Steve Spagnuolo as their defensive coordinator, Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. I just don't see it being enough once we get to quality competition in the AFC in the playoff picture.
Well, you're right. You're obviously wrong, Canty. I am in. 3 points last week. They held the Raiders to 3 points through 59 minutes. They held the Patriots to 16, and seven of those came on a flea flicker.
Tell me the juggernaut on offense between any of those three teams.
Well, I'll tell you this much. There's only one juggernaut on offense in the AFC, and that's the Ravens.
I was just going to say that.
Who Kansas City, of course, already beat this year. Last year, everyone loved the 12-4 Chiefs. This year, everyone's out on the 12-4 soon-to-be Chiefs. I'm absolutely in. Defense playing so much better than did at any point last season.
All right, yesterday Eli Manning made perhaps his last career start. It was a memorable one. He threw two touchdowns, including a Golden Tate, one to Golden Tate that led to the Giants winning 36-20. Danny, you went around on Eli Manning being a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I am in on Eli being a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got the two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, the 50,000 passing yards and 300-plus touchdown passes. Every other quarterback that has that metric is already in the Hall of Fame. It's a done deal. Plus, the fact that he played in New York, I don't think it should matter, but it does. I think he's absolutely in.
No, you're absolutely right, Daddy. Playing in New York does make a difference. The greatest quarterback in New York City pro football history, that's Eli Manning. The playoff runs is what separates him. I know it's a pedestrian regular season record. He's right at 500, but being able to go on the road in all of those games in 2007 in the postseason, and then three games in 2011. I think that's the difference, and he's got some memorable moments. The throw to David Tyree that set up the go-ahead touchdown in Super Bowl 42, and then the throw to Mario Manningham on that last possession in Super Bowl 46. Those are top Super Bowl moments, and so I think that's what puts him over the top. First ballot Hall of Famer.
Here comes the
How do you introduce Chris Canty when he first comes on the show?
Super Bowl champ Chris Canty.
Super Bowl champ. Who'd you win that Super Bowl with, Chris Canty?
With Eli Manning.
Eli Manning. Okay, all right. I just wanted to get that. The case for Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame is a very simple one. The unbelievable counting stats, the two Super Bowls, the one thing neither of you mentioned, the Iron Man streak.
Yep.
That is everything I just said there is first ballot, no doubt. The case against Eli Manning as any type of Hall of Famer is a very easy one as well. Won playoff games in two seasons, a career 500 record. There was never a season, forget him being the best quarterback in football, where he was considered one of the three best quarterbacks in football, and his career passer rating numbers are really pedestrian given the era. Because of that, I think it takes him a long time to get in. I think he will eventually get in, but I think that you can make a case as strong against him as you can for him, so I think it's going to be a battle, so I am out.
Ain't a lot of quarterbacks running around with multiple championships.
Right.
Let's just put that out there.
Here's what hurts him. The last 7 years. If he would have just stopped playing after 8 years, it would have been first ballot no matter, without question. The fact that they've struggled recently, his record comes down.
That's what I said about Tom Brady. If he just stopped 7 years ago, he might be able to make it into the Hall of Fame. Danny, want to play Drawing a Blank?
Let's do it.
Yesterday, Eli Manning made perhaps his last career start. It was a memorable one. He threw two touchdowns, led the Giants to a 36-20 win. Mr. Cannell, the best fit for Eli Manning next season is blank.
On a beach somewhere with a little drink umbrella in it. Retirement. You can just see it. It feels like it's all the signs are there. You know, his last 2 weeks ago, he's in Philly. His brother's there. His wife's there. They're all sending him off. I think that's the best option. And I want him to do that, too. I don't want to see him try to, find a resurgence somewhere, and then it goes off the rails and his record falls way below 500. I'd love to see him right off in the sunset as much as he can.
Yeah, I'm going to say the best place for Eli Manning next season is the couch. I mean, he was a bridge quarterback this year. It was a short bridge because it only lasted for two games. But when the Giants took Daniel Jones in the top 10, you knew what it was. Eventually, they were going to turn it over to the kid. If there's another team that's interested in Eli Manning, it would only be to be a bridge quarterback. He's already said he's not interested in that. So I think Eli is going to hang him up after this year.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. He's not going to be playing football, but I think he's going to do something we know he loves, which is autograph signings. Maybe nationwide. I saw Candy. He got the game ball yesterday, but it's so weird. I looked online. There's three of those game balls.
Is it game used?
I'm so confused. But that's my – we all say not playing football. You got him on a beach. You got him on a couch. I got him at a convention center near you.
A little SNL maybe? Have more comedy skits with his brother?
Low-key funny dude, by the way.
Some commercials,
all three of them.
Perhaps?
Low-key funny dude.
Yeah, true that. All right, yesterday there was plenty of good quarterback play throughout the league. Carson Wentz led the Eagles to a 37-27 win with his 266 yards and three touchdowns. But Danny, the best quarterback performance yesterday was
Carson Wentz was impressive, but I didn't see him setting any records the way Jameis Winston did with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Back-to-back games, over 450 yards passing, first time in NFL history. That has been done in the first quarter. He was 10 of 12 for 221 and two touchdown passes and took off from there, and the best part about it, only one interception.
Yeah, I'm going with trick or treat Jameis too. That's what Nick White calls him. I mean, Jameis Winston is one of those players that's just good enough to get the coach fired because it's maddening. There's so much variance in terms of how he plays week to week, but he had a great day yesterday.
Our friend Cousin Sal, who does the great show Lock It In, he said the 30 for 30, the Jameis Winston story on this year, 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, for a potential first one of that in league history. But while he played really well, I'm going to go with the guy who, in the condition, against a divisional opponent, kept his team alive for the two seed. That's one Patrick Mahomes. 27 to 34, 340 yards passing, so that's 10 yards per attempt. Two touchdowns, made the one mistake trying to fit it into Tyreek Hill at the goal line. But in the game, the Chiefs dominated throughout in tough conditions. Mahomes was sensational, reminding people he's still the most talented quarterback.
I was going to call you a homer for that, but it's hard to deny. And remember Russell Westbrook was talking about normalizing greatness? Mm-hmm. I feel like we're already there in only year three with Patrick Mahomes. We just come to expect him to do that in those conditions.
He's two career, he has 17 300-yard passing games in his first three seasons, which is two off the record. He didn't even play his rookie season. Yeah. Right. So he's done that in really just the years two and three.
All right, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers picked up an important win over the Chicago Bears yesterday. Green Bay jumped out to a 21-3 lead, and their defense sealed the win. They're currently the two seed in the NFC. But, Danny, the best team in that conference, the NFC, is blank.
I'll give you a little bit of a hot take, because I think Saints, 49ers are popular. I'm going with Seattle Seahawks.
Wow.
Russell Wilson still performing at an MVP level. If Lamar Jackson was not doing Lamar Jackson things, he'd be in that conversation. Pete Carroll's got championship experience. So does Russell Wilson. Adding Josh Gordon with that catch right there was a massive addition to the wide receiving core, which needed some help. Home field, such one of the toughest places to play. I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
And as we sit here today, they are the one seed, amazingly, right now this moment.
No, I like the Seahawks too, but I like to be right when I make predictions. And coming into
take
this
integrity.
Season, I took the Green Bay Packers to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, and I'm still rolling with the Green Bay Packers.
Don't be stubborn.
Even though they haven't put it all together in a complete performance, I still think this is a really good team. Right now, they're the two seed in the NFC. So see if they can hold on to that. But the Green Bay Packers, if Aaron Rodgers can do a little bit more and that defense can pick it up, particularly the Smith brothers with the pass rush to be able to close out games, then I like the Packers to be able to come out of the NFC.
I agree with you on all that, and I think they have the highest ceiling, and I also picked the Packers. But right now, the best team in the NFC is the Saints. Right now, as far as a team that's played the best, I know they just lost the last time we saw them, but they also hung 46 on that excellent San Francisco defense. I think the Saints have the most different ways to beat you, and if they can get back to where they are the one seed, so difficult to play a playoff game in that building.
Worried about Sheldon Rankins and Marcus Davenport both being put on IR. That's a big blow for that Saints defense.
Two major defensive linemen losses.
Candy, you're my favorite part of the day. Thanks for hanging out today. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.